The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The batting has died.
He hasn't got all that hype for nothing, DC.
Yeah. I'm the new man, lad. People are going to be calling me out now. You know who the boy is?
Put it together for Paddy, the Batty, Pimblett.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm having big computer problems today, so if I disappear in the middle of this, Matt, it's nothing personal. But I had to hook up new equipment, and I'm struggling here today. We have Nick Kolchev is on the show today, known as Nick Merckx to streamers. And we also have Paddy Pimblett, returning to the show. He, I think, predicted a first round knockout last time, Matt, if I'm correct, and he certainly delivered it.
Nicky Merckx.
Yep.
I could be Matty Merckx.
Oh yeah, because you do like to, as you say, Merck people.
I like to Merck fools.
Yes, you do.
My kids know when it's time for Daddy to Merck. They got all right. I go, I wish me luck, and I put on my headset. Yep. I want to see if this Nicky Merckx.
Nick Merckx. Nick Merckx. What? Nick, N-I-C-K, not Nicky, Nick.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Right. Nick Merckx. I want to see if he's at the VR at all, man. Shit.
Yeah, I only use my Oculus now, Matt. I just play chess. That's kind of what I do on it. I play chess on my Oculus. Yeah, because it's like playing in a virtual room. It's cool.
Oh, shit.
There's no other person across from you, but it is fun to do. So, yeah, I'm not getting much, and I attempt to meditate.
Yeah, Jimmy. I don't do that. I take a page out of Nick's book and I murk.
Do
I have fun? Two of my like childhood friends, I know them since once I'm 14, once I'm in like fourth grade, even younger. Robbie C and Bride D. We get on there. We're all now we're all adults. We have kids and everything. But we meet up in there. We get in that metaverse and I put that thing on. I meet them. Yo, Bride D, Robbie. He's a Savage Sparrow and Chef Bomb. The other guy's a chef. And we go on missions, Jimmy.
Yeah, you do.
Want to go on a mission with me, my friend?
I'd like to go and watch, but I get dizzy in that one. I get nauseous kind of in VR playing games. I can't do it.
Yeah, take some Dramamine and you man up. Listen.
I know.
When is our first guest arriving?
He'll be here shortly, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure we got news to talk about. Hey, I heard his fight's coming up.
Yes, there are. Volkov Aspinall is coming. Let me get the date. I have so many windows open. I mean, I really need to learn how to be a professional at this. It's all, let's see, that is happening on, I'm half blind, March 19th. The O2 in London is phenomenal. I think Aspinall is 11-2 against Volkov, but that's a great, great fight. And Paddy Pimblett is fighting Rodrigo Vargas on that card. And Pimblett's got like a huge deal with Barstool Sports. Like he's really like a personality that they love. And, you know, I can see why. He's really an entertaining guy.
He has a great personality and he sleeps fools. Why am I talking like that?
I don't know. You're right though. Okay.
American fools. Now I'm saying he sleeps.
You're a younger man. You're a little bit of a midlife crisis.
Nick is ready to go.
And we can also ask him.
How old is Nick? He plays video games.
He's 31, I think. I think Nick is 30. Nick is 31, I believe.
Well, there you go. He's a grown-ass man playing video games.
Nothing wrong with it.
What's going on, guys?
I like the cans, bro.
The cans?
Those are fuck. I don't know. What do you call them in your business?
Yeah, cans.
That's right. The cans. Look at those things, man. That's like
these guys.
Looks like you're like a fucking out of Star Wars or something.
Oh
like
my God, am I talking to Matt Sarah right now?
How are you?
Look at this guy, man. What's up, OG? How you doing, man?
Man, hey, listen, you've been watching for a while or no, MMA?
I mean, I used to watch you go at it with GSP and all the boys back then when I was growing up, you know, and now I'm even a bigger fan, of course, as the sport's grown to where it is today. But I mean, man, yes, I've watched you fight a bunch.
Oh, thanks, man. Listen, I'm a fucking avid gamer.
Sure.
If I wasn't such a moron, I'd be on Twitch already.
I've been telling you for 2 years to go on Twitch. You'd make money. You should do it.
You would make money.
Nick, I do it. I do it for the love of the game.
Okay.
But listen, love of the gaming. But I play Population One.
Population One?
On VR. It's VR. It's on
Oculus. Oh my God. I've never even heard of it.
It's really new.
I'm not into VR. We play like Call of Duty and Halo and Apex, all those games, you know?
I love Halo and I love Call of Duty.
Okay.
But there's no way I'd know Nick Merckx on that thing. I wouldn't be Matty Merckx on that shit.
Right.
So high level. What did you start with?
Bro, you know what? Like you came up in MMA, right? Like way back. I mean, are you ever blown away about like where the sport is now compared to where you, like when you came in and when you started training and where everything was? Because that's how it is for me in gaming. I feel like an OG in gaming. Like when I came up, everybody was just playing in their garages with tube TVs and N64s and stuff. And then now, you know, Twitch and YouTube and streaming and gaming and tournaments and big events. So, I mean, it's been a long time, man, but I've been playing since I was.
What year did you start?
Just playing games?
Yeah, yeah, online, like where you said it was kind of like a bit of infancy.
Xbox Live came out in, I think, 2004 or 3, that's when I started playing. Yeah. I got in a lot of trouble, man. Mama, Papa, man, they were pissed, bro. I was staying home from school. I was skipping sports, doing anything I could to just play Xbox Live, you know?
Now, I mean, obviously you're doing well now with it. So, I mean, what did your parents say now that you're like, hey, man, I mean, look at what you're doing now?
Well, I mean, Matt, me and my dad had a big falling out. My mom had the pamphlets to go to the army schools to send kids who had bad behavioral issues. I mean, we were really going through it. I was a tough kid to bring up, man, because I was in my room all night playing, and then I have to go to school on no sleep. I had attitude problems. I was just angry all the time. I had no sleep. I was mad, you know. I was doing a bunch of shit that I didn't want to do. You know, my parents and I have had multiple conversations now. They did the right thing. They were just trying to get their kid on the right path and playing sports and playing school. And that's what everybody was doing. You know, there wasn't any kids in their room, you know, pumping out change and turning this thing into a career back then. So there was no examples. Right.
Are you good at like being on the computer that much? Did it fuck you up at all socializing, or are you just as comfortable off the computer? Because sometimes being on it, it just seems like it would fuck people up socializing.
No, and I think it would too. Like if you spend too much time at home and in your room and just no people skills, no conversation flow, you're not going to the store, you're not going to the gas station, you're not hanging out with friends, you're not doing anything at all. It might get a little bit crazy. I can definitely understand that. But for me, growing up, like my father had me in so many sports. My mom was super into school and stuff. So it was a lot of this going on, you know? So I was still doing things. I was just, I loved it. I loved to play video games, man. I loved it.
I can't handle the pressure though. Like you're going to be in LA competing for a share of a $1 million charity prize.
Yeah, yeah.
A third annual Twitch Streamer Bowl. Like the amount of pressure with that, I couldn't handle it. I suck on video games alone, much less when people are watching and there's money at stake.
Nah, you totally could, man. I mean, you've been on big stages in front of large crowds and you get that little feeling inside you where you're alive, man. Like you're literally fucking alive in that moment. You feel so great. And then when you're done, you feel so accomplished and you're so happy and proud and you celebrate with your friends. You have some drinks, you have some laughs, and then it's a great time that you'll forever appreciate. And that's where I'm at with this as well. Like when I first got on the stage and played for all that change, it was definitely a little nerve-wracking, you know, but after you do it a billion times, it just becomes, you know, a party, right?
So what are you playing when you go there? What is it? Is it a set thing? Is it Call of Duty?
Fortnite. I'm sure you know
Fortnite.
Yeah, we're playing Fortnite, and it's cool because the event that he's talking about is it. Something that I love about it is it's a really good way to blend current day athletes with gamers, because the reality is that you guys, you athletes, man, you guys beat your bodies like crazy, man. The training's just very, very tough. And then when you're not doing that, you want to just chill out. So gaming's a great thing to do when you're just chilling, right?
Love it.
Yeah. So I've met a lot of MMA fighters. I've met Hax Holloway. Great, great guy. I've met a lot of NFL athletes, NBA athletes, and all of them love to game. Oh, a lot of them, you know, so we're able to kind of play and partner up with those athletes and then play in these big tournaments, and we do it for charity. So it's good stuff.
Did you box at one point? Did you train boxing?
I did for like a year, 2 years. Yeah. I didn't do very well though.
Did you actually compete and lose, or did you get hurt doing it?
I went to a gym in Detroit. It was called Cooper's Gym. And I just wanted to learn how to do it. I was bored after high school. I played a lot of sports and I needed to get into something. So I just wanted to learn how to box. I was in that gym and I was just throwing my jabs and I was doing my crosses and I was looking over to the left side the whole time and they were beating the shit out of each other, man. Just going in every day. And you know, like you're in there and you're training and you know, you don't want to do it, but then you kind of do. And then the itch becomes more and more and more. And then you're like, ah, fuck it, I'll spar one day. And then the sparring becomes more and more consistent. And I did have like 10 or 11 amateur boxing fights.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Something right there.
Yeah.
And no, yeah. The big headgear, the big gloves, you punch them in the head, you get a point, you know.
What weight did you fight at?
145.
So now what do you think about the gaming, the live stuff with the Twitch stuff with the VR? Not too many people do that.
No, listen, man, VR, you know, I'm just not into it. I'm old school, man. I like what I like. And the VR stuff with the headset, you know, it's a whole new way of gaming. And I'm just literally not into it. I know. I'm sorry. I wish I was.
You're going to, even though I'm the old man here, but you're going to be sounding like the dinosaur with all these young kids coming out. We're going to be in the metaverse. And we're going to be like,
oh. I know. What the hell is going on out there?
Fun in there, man. I'm waving at my buddies.
Oh, they're my just God.
Flying around. I fucking love it. I fucking love it. And then my wife comes by and she hits me in my balls when I get.
Oh my God. We get too loud.
You know, in VR. That's gaming great. Lost me. Like I was an arcade when I was a kid. It was all arcade, so I would stand there and play for hours. It was Asteroids, and I wound up getting like a home Atari. And the fucking usually the buttons, you would have like two buttons, left, right, forward, back, and then hyperspace.
Right.
But it became a joystick, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? The joystick ruined home gaming for me. And in television, tried to
fix it. Those big changes, right? You're like, damn, I wish it was still this way. No, I totally get you. So that's part of my appeal. I play with this thing. I play with this little controller.
Oh,
but everybody else plays with the mouse and the keyboard, you know,
going around. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of controller players out there, but this is kind of old school. And part of where I came up and how I came up was I would play against the keyboard guys, but I would use this. Everyone was like, oh, how the hell is he doing this shit? You know, playing with that little ass controller. Yep.
What was the difference between them? Is it just something you're used to?
And also, like, you think about a keyboard, right? There's so many more keys, so many more options. So you can play just that much faster when there's that many more options. Then like a mouse, you can move and turn. Your body can go so quick and you can snap onto things. And then a controller, you know, it's very, very, it's very hard to play at that pace, right? So those are the two big differences, just the speed and the play style, you know?
So you'll play against guys, though, who are using the computer, or does everyone have to play on a controller when you're playing them?
Yeah, we play against everybody, keyboard, mouse, or controller. It does whatever you prefer.
Yeah, and I think Matt would do great on Twitch. Like, it drives me crazy that he's not on it. It's like, he's such a personality, such a big personality. Like, you, by this point, have a tremendous following.
For sure, and that's a big part of Twitch and a big part of streaming is the personality aspect, because there's a lot of people out there that are incredible at playing the games. Like they'll drop crazy amount of kills and they'll outperform a lot of people, but the personality is so dry and it's just not there. So, you know, they don't have, you know, as much of a blow up in terms of viewership. But like a guy like Matt Serra, you know, the personality is crazy and it's awesome, it's fire, and they're always at a 10. So now, I don't know how good he is at Call of Duty, though, so we'll have to work on that part. But, you know, nice little blend.
But if we're playing, if we're doing VR and it's Population 1, I don't want to brag. Maybe you could Google it. I'm about to be a gold PJ. PJ, Jimmy! A fucking gold PJ!
I have literally no idea what he's talking about right now.
I don't either.
I'm about to be level 60 on the game of thing. And when you are, it means you're a gold PJ. What we know looks like a fucking gold PJ is the other day, one of my friends who plays with me goes, yo, fucking Bruce Buff is a gold PJ. He looks just like the motherfucker. Somebody who's going to find this, who's listening to this online that plays the game, and you got the gold jacket on, and it looked just like the character that.
Just like Bruce. Fire, man. Well, listen, I'm happy you like VR. I wish I was more into it so we kind of bond over this, man. But I don't even know what P, what is it? P1? What are you playing?
Population 1. Oh!
What is it? What do you do in the game?
I want you to check it out. What is it? It's basically.
What do you do?
This is what you do. There's a bunch of squads. So squads of 3. All right. Unless you're playing Legions, and that's squads of 6.
Got it.
So you get off on, you leave on different, you jump in these pods. It's basically
like a battle royale.
It's a battle royale.
Okay. I'm kind of in now. Okay.
You decide where you're going to land. Every team, you got to take out all the other teams.
Nice. And it's the last team alive wins.
Yeah, last team standing, man.
I love battle. All the games I play are battle royales. So
you like
I love
last man standing stuff.
I love last man standing
perch,
stuff.
I fucking perch and I do a little fucking, I get an op. And I fucking, you know, when I get a headshot, my name is down the block and hear it. When I get a fucking headshot,
you got to get on Twitch, man.
149 headshot. And my wife's like, oh, listen, the kids are on that.
That's awesome, man.
Fucking love it. It's the only thing now that I'm done fighting, like it gets my fucking
hair. Yeah. Awesome. Jimmy. You got to hang on to that, man.
Thank you.
You got to hang on to that.
Yeah, no, I won't play it. It made me nauseous. I play VR chess and that's it. And Fitbit, like a fucking old lady where I punch like beach balls coming at me. I'm pathetic. I tried
play
population.
Playing ping pong and shit.
It really is fucking old. Yeah. It's a golden girl shit. But I tried that population one. I got nauseous and I kept dropping the gun. I got shot immediately and I was like, fuck this. I can't do it.
Yeah, people do get motions.
Motion sick, yeah.
Right. From being, yeah, it's crazy. Wow.
And you're a fight fan too, which is, do you go to fights or do you just watch on?
We went to that last one in Vegas, the Volkanovski fight. And that was incredible, man. I mean, that was a banger. They were standing in the middle of the octagon, screaming at each other, pointing at each other and shit. And that's the only fight that I've ever been to live. And it kind of ruined it for me because now I just always want to be there. It's so much better in person, in my opinion. Like the energy of the crowd, people getting into it. It's kind of hard to, you know, feel that same feeling back home. Now, don't get me wrong. I still watch all the fights from back home. I buy them all. I'm a big UFC guy. But like I said, just being there live is not really comparable, you know?
It's a weird energy when you're watching. There's something about the energy of the walkout. You're right. There really is nothing that compares to it. It's, and you can't really describe it to somebody. But when you're watching, this, two guys just getting into a cage to pummel each other, it's just like there's very few things with the stakes that this has.
The way you hear it too, like you hear the cracks and the punches. I mean, it's just incredible. It's very, very fun for me. I love going to the fights. I think if they were all in Vegas, I'd be going much more. I'm way over here in Florida, so that flight sucks. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know what they do well too? The UFC does great production. Like they have great production pieces. So even when you're in the arena, when they're showing you like the lead up to the co-main or the main, the production pieces are really good. And a lot of sports do terrible jobs with that.
I agree. And then that damn camera lens that they're using this past year is incredible. You can see anything and everything on their face. Ridiculous, you know?
It's almost 3D. Yeah, it's really,
right,
it's almost,
like you're right there.
It's almost like home video. Like, remember home video? Like, old porn was on home video, and it had this really weird, you're in the room with them quality, and that's almost what this feels like. But
it's right there. Incredible.
That's one of my favorite categories.
Porn?
Well, what'd you like, though? The hidden video? What'd you say, Jimmy?
Well, home video.
Oh, okay. I was thinking a hidden video. That's different.
No, home video. I'm saying that home video quality. These new UFC cameras, I've noticed them, too. They're incredible. Whatever they're using, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Sometimes I'll type in mature pog.
Mature.
Now, pog would be what? Piece of garbage?
Pog. Fat ass white girl.
What is it?
P-H-A-T. Fat ass with a P-H.
Oh, P-H.
Oh, it's a big ass white girl. Oh, okay, nice.
Fat ass white girl. Yeah.
You ever load up the website? You're getting ready to beat the meat? And you see on the right-hand side, it's got the you won't last 10 seconds playing this fucking game. You ever see that?
The sex, it's a sex game though, right?
No,
Yeah, it's like a sex game, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, see, I'm a gamer, so.
Did you try it?
Shit. Did you have a press on it? What is
it? I might have clicked on one just to see if I could beat the highest score, you know?
And what's the goal?
It gets weird. There's like aliens and shit.
So why is that going to make you want to beat off?
No, it's competition. It's gaming, Matt. You know what I mean? Trying to get the new high score.
But how is it sexual, though? How are you going to look at that and be like, oh?
I don't know, man. I don't know if I think I was a little scrambled eggs when I was going in. It's like, am I beating off? Am I trying to be a gamer? What am I doing here?
You know? You have to stand up and shoot at the screen. I guess that's how you kill the alien. Yeah, I've never done VR porn or any of that stuff. I've never tried. I'm sure it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
You don't want that, though.
Fucking mind-boggling.
It would be, right?
Yeah, what the fuck? So weird.
You know what's sad about that? Because what's disgusting about that is somebody will walk in on you and you're not going to stop. Normally it's like, oh, you put down the thing. So somebody will walk in and be like, oh, what was he doing? But somebody will walk in and you'll still be like,
I don't know about that upward one. But
I don't know what that was.
That was you, autoerotic asphyxiation, man.
Hey, man.
I don't know what that was.
You David Carradine?
Point is, no matter what you're into, everybody's going to see it.
You ain't slowing down when the door opens. Right.
Hey, now, Nick, are there guys you play against in these competitions who you're like, oh, fuck that guy? Like the guys like that you don't want to have to deal with, or guys that you've dealt with and you were worried about? I mean, there's got to be other guys who.
We've had people that like go back and forth. You know what I mean? And we build up these little stories and stuff. I have a guy named Aiden, and me and Aiden have had some epic fights and battles. And a lot of the fans get into it because, I mean, they're exciting. A lot of the fights have been dragged out and very, very close battles. It's been fun stuff, you know, and him and I actually eventually we teamed up in a duo tournament and we mopped the fucking floor. So it was kind of cool. Yeah, it was cool stuff. Dude.
How many people will watch you? And then to team up, how many people will watch you at a time? Like a typical day for you?
30,000-40,000 people, you know.
That's crazy.
It's unreal.
Do you ever look at a baseball stadium? That's like sitting in fucking Dodger Stadium and playing a game and that's many people are watching you. That's amazing. You
know, it's unbelievable. My father and I, he was a big football guy growing up, and he took me to the Big House in Ann Arbor to watch the Wolverines play. And, you know, the Big House seats, they call it a Big House because it seats like 120,000 fucking people. It's crazy. Wow. And I remember sitting in the stands with him, and I remember, you know, just looking around at everybody. I remember I tugged on my dad's jacket. I'm like, Dad, imagine you had a dollar from every person in here. My dad started laughing. I'm like, yeah, you'd be rich. You
know? Yeah.
it's crazy that now every night, man, you know, a quarter of that comes up into my stream. It's unbelievable.
What's the longest you'll go without playing? Like, I'm sure like every other job, I want to break sometimes. Like, will you give yourself a week off here and there? Or is it only 2 days or a day
off?
I took
my longest break when I came back down here to Florida after Christmas. I took a 2-week vacation, my longest break in 10 years. But usually it's, you know, a couple of days, two, three, four days, you know. Just listen, I'm in a great spot. I have a job that I love, you know, and it's a pure passion for me. And when I came up in this game, there wasn't a lot of bread to be earned, man. I mean, you really couldn't make a lot of money. So we were just doing it for fun. We had no idea that it was going to blow up into this stuff. And anybody that tells you that is crazy, because back in the day, we literally had no fucking clue. We were just blowing our lives away. You know, just playing games, right? You know, so the fact that I love my job and I get to do what I love every day, it's not so much of a job. Now, granted, the business side of things, I have an agent now, I have a manager, things will ramp up, they get a little bit crazy, you know. But even doing stuff like this here with you guys, I mean, I used to watch Matt. I watched Matt and GSP stand in the middle of that fucking ring, just beat the piss out of each other. And I remember being in a Buffalo Wild Wings, looking up at the TV, like, what the fuck? This is incredible. And I'm with my buddies. We got wings. We're watching. And here I am full circle, you know, at your guys' podcast talking to the guy, you know. So it's never a dull day in my world, man. I'm always like, oh, shit, this is great. And I'm always very appreciative. And I try to keep the perspective flowing. I try to remember, you know, those days, compare them to now. So the whole taking breaks and shit, you know, I don't know. I'm just always grinding. I fucking love it.
The pandemic for you must have been like not good for like, but I mean like at least busy because everyone was home. So I mean people were so much more online.
I don't like beating around the bush, man. I mean it was good. It was horrible that we had to go through that. But for everybody in the gaming industry, man, in the streaming industry, I mean, dude, there were so many more viewers, so many more people at home. They had nothing to do. So I would turn on my stream, no bullshit, and have 100,000 a day just in there.
That's another reason why I'm thinking of doing it, because, you know, I own a jiu-jitsu school, which is going, it's going beautifully now.
Congrats. Like, nice. Know, awesome.
Now that could go south again, God forbid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could always make money at the house. Guys, What do you think of the unconventional path in life? This goes for both of you. I don't want to get deep, but look at all, for example, look at all three of us.
Right.
A comedian, a guy makes money being silly. A guy gets money playing games. I used to smack guys in the face in the ring. Now, think about that. Fighting, comedy, gaming. That's not exactly the conventional path. And yet, we're all doing good. We're doing all right. But think about how many people aren't that are in all three of our fields. So my point is, would you encourage somebody to go for the unconventional path in life? Or just to like, I don't know. Was there ever a job, Nick, where you're like, oh, man, I got to stay on this road because it's going great. Or maybe I should actually take that job at the fucking Wells Fargo. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure. I mean, I give advice. I have a bunch of people tune into this podcast. I'm sure you guys give them advice all the time. People tune into my stream. I give them advice. And my advice on this one has always been the same. You find something that you love and chase it, you know? Because, you know, listen, we're going to be dead someday. Soon. You know, we don't live long, man. We're fucking here and we're gone. So I want to have fun. I want to do what I'm doing. I'm so lucky that I get to provide for my family with all this shit, you know, that I love. And not a lot of people can say that. But at the same time, I encourage everybody to go chase that, man. Because you're going to be so much more passionate and driven if you're doing something that you love opposed to maybe doing something that you fucking hate, even if you're making good money, right? I don't know. I know it's easy to say being in our shoes, you know, but still, that would be my advice.
And there are business things that get annoying. And then once in a while, I'll be like, oh, yeah, this gig I don't want to do. But then I'll be like, shut up. Look what you're doing. Like, you're going to have fun and do a gig. Like, all right, it's not a great gig, but look at the life you're living compared to a guy who didn't do what he wanted to do. Like, even the problems are what my friend used to call luxury problems. Like they're problems.
Sure. The perspective on that, right? Is crazy.
Living a great life.
No, yeah, but so. We still have our fucking plate. You know, there's still things that we don't want to do. And I can relate to that as well. Like I get frustrated with shit. I yell at my guys. I have this fucking thing, man, you know? But yeah, you hit the nail on the head, man. Like it's still not like in comparison, the problem is really not even that big of a fucking problem, you know?
Now, Nick, what do you want to plug? Because we have our next guest coming in shortly. So before next time we'll have you on for longer because you're really a fun hang, man.
No, I would love to talk to you guys again. This is fucking awesome for me.
Really fun, man. But let's promote what you need to promote.
Listen, man, I'm not even, I didn't even come on to promote today, bro. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me. You know, Matt, listen, big fucking fan, homie. You're a legend in the game. And me and my dad, I had some great times in my life watching you fight. I'll never forget them. Thanks. So I just want to say it was an honor being on here today. And I hope I can come back. I'd love to chop it up with gaming and life, wherever the fucking porn, VR porn, whatever the hell y'all want to talk about.
Where if they want to watch you, where do they go?
You go to Twitch TV, look for the guy that looks like he's from Jersey Shore. He's not hard to find, you know? We're doing a big tournament in a week in LA, man, you know, and I was talking about it before with you guys, and it's a great opportunity for athletes and gamers to you know, get to know each other and to blend that world. And I think it's a good thing. So it'll be in LA. It'll be Fortnite. It'll be during this Super Bowl week. And if I plugged anything, I would definitely plug that. Twitch is doing some big things. We're doing some big things. And I hope to get more involved with the MMA and UFC. I know a lot of these MMA fighters play games, and I'm always down to hop on stream with them and get it popping, you know?
And Nick, your favorite game right now, is it Fortnite? Do you enjoy Fortnite, or do you?
I like playing Fortnite. A big part of my career was Fortnite, but my favorite game right now is Apex. I love Apex, and all those games are battle royales, just like the game
that you play. What is Apex? What is that?
It's like a BR game. They got different abilities. Everybody drops on the map. You loot. Whoever survives wins.
Oh, it's a battle royale. You're saying like that?
Same thing that you play, but just a different game.
I love that shit too, man.
It's so fucking awesome. You loot, you know what I mean? Last guy wins. It's awesome. No better game.
I build in a tree and I get my little sniper rifle. Jimmy, I don't want to grow up, Jimmy.
I don't want to grow up either, man.
I don't have to, man.
Be a kid forever.
True. In 5 hours, I'll be on stage talking about my dick to a bunch of people who don't want to hear about it. I get it. Nick, good talking to you, man. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. All right. Be good, buddy.
Later.
Take care, Nick.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What's up, Patty?
What's going, Dom?
You must have been happy. I believe the last fight you predicted what you were going to do before you did it. You kind of predicted you were going to end that fight in the first round, and you did.
Yeah, it was always happening.
It always happens. Now, are you scared to make, like, because Ali made predictions like that, and, you know, most times he would back it up. But does it put additional pressure on you as you see the round ticking away? Like, fuck, I've made this prediction.
Yeah, that's what, well, when you're in there and you're getting punched in the face, you don't really think about your prediction, to be honest.
I guess not.
Yeah, you don't really think about your prediction. But obviously, when you come out of there, you can look like a bit of an idiot. But I've just got that much belief in myself that I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go out there and do it. And I always say, if you believe in yourself and you believe you're going to do it, then you're going to do it.
And how are you handling, because you have so much recognition now for a young guy kind of new in the UFC. You have a lot of recognition. Barstool Sports. How has life changed for you? Has it changed at all for you in like the last few months?
It's changed a little bit, like, but this is, I always knew this was coming. I always predicted it. If you watch me on podcasts like a year before my debut, I always say I'm going to have one fight, one interview, and I'll get a performance of the night and everyone will know who I am. And that's exactly what happened. It's just, I've always saw it coming in my future. I just knew that I'd end up being a global superstar. And this is just the start. Like, after this fight, it's going to blow up even more. And then when I beat someone else up, it'll blow up even more.
You kind of saw it.
You ever see the way other people handle their success and say, all right, I know I'm going to be a superstar. It's already happening. I'm not going to go down this path, or I'm going to act a little different than that. Or you're just taking it as it comes.
I'm just taking it as it comes. I'm just a normal lad from Liverpool, lad who started doing MMA one day and I was good at it. And I don't try and class myself as anything else. People say to me now, oh, you're a celebrity, aren't you? I go, no, I'm not, lad. I'm just a lad from Eton. You know what I mean? I'm no celebrity, lad. I'd never think I'm better than anyone, because I'm not. We're all the same.
And you predict, you think Gaethje is going to beat Oliveira. That's a really interesting pick, because I love Justin Gaethje. But
I love both of them. Like, yeah. Two of them are like two of my favorite fighters. Like, Charles Oliveira's got brilliant jiu-jitsu. Like his jiu-jitsu's brilliant. I feel like I've got brilliant jiu-jitsu myself. But then Justin Gaethje is my favourite fighter to watch. I love watching Justin Gaethje fight. He's never, ever, ever in a boring fight. So it's right. A toss-up for me, to be honest. I just can't see how Charles can get the fight to the floor. I don't think, like, the way he took Dustin down and stuff like that, I just don't think he'll be able to take Justin Gaethje down. I just can't see it.
What's interesting about that, Patty, is how it ended. I mean, he didn't even take him down. Like, he could expose. He could. Some guys, they hop up on the back. They're worse to wear. I tried that once in my fight. I slipped down. My legs were short. guys like Charles Oliveira, guys like Aljo Sterling, they can get up on their back, do a body triangle. They're set. Now they're there.
See, that's a position I'm very comfortable in, that position. I love the back. Like, a lot of people think that I basically said I'd beat Dustin Poirier a couple of months ago, when I never. I just said, if I ended up in that position on his back, then I'd have confidence that I'd choke him, because it's a position that I end up in a lot, standing and on the floor. I end up with a body triangle against the cage and stuff like that. And that's a position that I am so confident in myself in.
That's great, because a lot of guys, they can't do that. They can't keep that. They need the takedown. Other guys need the back exposure. Whether it's up against the cage, or they can just hop up on there and boop, they're good. Some guys can't. So that's good. Man, it's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, it's very exciting, man. Dude, you're bringing a lot of excitement into the division in the UFC. Sometimes we need new flavor. We need somebody that just bursts, not only with the fucking fists and the feet and the knees and elbows, but with the personality, Patty. And you're in. You're getting all the checks on the, I'm knocking off all the checks on the list. So exciting, man.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to put bums on seats to entertain people and beat people up.
And wasn't Jared Gordon the first name that got kind of floated by your team?
That's what I heard.
No, he never got floated at my team, to be honest. No fighter actually got put forward until Rodrigo Vargas. No opponents actually got given. Or, well, if you're going to hear that noise, that's my dog running around. Sorry about that. But the first opponent I got given to was Rodrigo Vargas. But I would have happily have fought Jared Gordon, but at the same time, I looked at it and he's had 9 UFC fights. How much money do you think he's getting? He's getting a lot more than me, lad. So thinking about it that way, I'm glad I never ended up fighting Jared Gordon, because I want a better and bigger contract before I fight people like that.
Oh, okay. You want to be making more money per fight. That's smart. Smart thinking. You want to work your way up financially first.
Yeah.
And Instagram, I think last time we talked about your Instagram had booted your account and then they reinstated you. What happened there?
No, they never reinstated me. That first account is gone forever. That's why my new account is Paddy the Baddy UFC, because I have to make a new one. But my actual Paddy the Baddy account is gone. Lenny, shut up, lad.
Your dog's name is Lenny?
Yeah, Lenny's. He's an XL bulldog and he's just running around going wild. Yeah, my first account, the most annoying thing about my first account, to be honest, is the fact that I won't get any of my pictures and videos back. That's quite heartbreaking, to be honest, because I had that account since like 2012 when I was a proper kid, and I had over 1,000 posts on it or 1,500 posts on it. I'll never get them pictures and videos back. But as I say, that account had 187,000. The start of fight week when I fought in Vegas, I was on 28,000, and now I'm on 904,000. So it worked out in the end.
I don't remember the answer. Why did they delete you? Was it some bullshit? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's always bullshit, isn't it? Like, they said it was bullying and harassment. When I'm just giving it back to trolls. Trolls give it to me, I give it back. They report me and not many people are reporting them, so they don't get banned. But when I comment back to people, all jealous little haters start reporting my comments. So like me Instagram got disabled again 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I had to get the UFC to help me get my account back. You know what I mean? Without the UFC, I don't think I would have got it back.
For the same thing? Was it for the same thing?
For the same thing, basically, you know what I mean? To be honest, that the last thing I said on that account was to Diego Sanchez. Diego Sanchez was trying to give me grief. So I just said, shut up, you old ass bum, I'll knock you out in the first round. And I got me accounts off me.
Fighters going back and forth are getting yanked from it. That's so crazy.
Wait, I'm sorry, Jimmy. What was the not to stir up old shit, and it's not going to happen, the fighting out of the UFC, but what was he saying about you?
Where I got misquoted, saying someone said Paddy the Baddy thinks he'll beat Dustin Poirier, which I never said. I said if I ended up on Dustin's back in that position, I'd be very comfortable and think I would finish him. He started commenting on it, saying what a clown this guy is. He wouldn't last around with Dustin and he wouldn't last around with me. Something like that. So I just said, lad, shut your mouth, you got brainwashed by some idiot. Don't start on me. You're the clown. You've been cut by the UFC because you're irrelevant. If you want to say something, I'll knock you out in the first round, you old ass bum.
Yeah, it's just fighters talking. It's crazy that it's probably a robot doing it. There's not even a person.
Yeah,
realizing.
It is. It's all the algorithms and stuff. It's not even an actual human looking at it. That's why it happened, I think. And then when the humans actually did go and look at it, they said, yeah, they were false reports and reinstated my accounts.
Now, you signed a massive contract with Barstool Sports to become a brand ambassador and content creator for the digital media company. What is that, the digital media company? What are you doing with that?
I'm doing all sorts of them, to be honest. Like, I helped with it. Like, a couple of months ago, I was in the Barstool's office doing stuff for Liverpool FC, because Liverpool played it. They have a guy signed called Troops. And he supports Arsenal and they played each other. So we sat down and watched it together and done a live stream. Liverpool won 4-0. And like stuff like that. And then there's all stuff online. To be honest, after this fight, I'm probably going to come back out to the States for about 2 or 3 months and live there for a little 2 or 3 months and get a lot more stuff done with Barstools, a lot more training in San Diego. Just open my horizons, know what I mean? Get some bigger, better sponsors again.
Now, does that take the pressure off a little bit financially too? Because you have this great thing financially. So it takes the pressure off. What am I going to do to make money when I'm not fighting? So it kind of helps to have that, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. It always helps. Like, I haven't got to be like this fight. My last few fights, I've had to get a t-shirt made and get sponsors on the t-shirt. And to be honest, this fight, I don't think I'm going to have to do that. I'll just have my Barstool stuff on and my other sponsors, what I've already got, what I've run on sponsors. I probably won't just get sponsors for each fight. fighting always comes first. Know what I mean? Even though now I am earning 10 times more money outside of the cage, like, fighting comes first, and I've just got to keep winning. Like, all these deals can just get scrapped if you lose a fight, lad. So I've just got my head screwed on focusing on fight camp at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes it when you're winning. And again, I think that as much as people like you, I mean, I don't think you have any danger of losing these things, even if you had a fight not go your way. You look at a guy like Conor, who I thought did a really smart thing, investing in a whiskey company, like really, really smart outside stuff. So you know that regardless of what happens, you're good.
It's crazy the way you mentioned that, because I've been talking about that today. Like, just investing is something I do need to start doing, and I am going to start doing very soon. But what I want to do first, to be honest, is I want to get my own charity going first. Know what I mean? A little foundation for the people of Liverpool, for people who need help, because there's a lot of people in my city that are not well off, and they're not, know what I mean? They haven't got the advantages I've got, and they haven't got the possibilities that I've got, especially the youth of today in my city. So I want to be able to give something back. Know what I mean?
Fuck yeah.
What a nice guy. Yeah, that's a nice way to think. What a selfish ass I am. I'm such a selfish ass. I haven't done that.
We look after each other. Know what I mean? We back our own, and I want to be able to give something back to my own city, lad. I wouldn't be where I am today without them. The support I get in this city is just unbelievable. It's off the charts. And as I say, I want to be able to give something back.
Are you still there? You live there full time?
Yeah, I'm in Liverpool, lad. I don't think I'll ever fully move away from Liverpool, to be honest. It's where my heart is. As we mate, who's got a song, lad, who's Jamie Webster's album's just come out. My city, my people, my heart. I don't think I'd ever be able to move away from here full time.
How big is Lenny? Lenny sounds like a big dog.
Yeah, let me show you him.
Let's see Lenny.
Lenny?
Oh, yeah.
Lenny. Look at Lenny.
Hello, lad.
How much does he weigh? How big is he?
He's about 45 kilo. So
I don't know. Shit. In pounds, what is
nearly,
that?
Nearly 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah, it's big. Okay.
Yeah. And he's only 10 months old. He's going to get bigger.
Wow. Yeah, that's a massive dog. Now, what is 15 stone, or what does stone mean in Britain?
Stone is 7 kilo to a stone.
Shit.
I think featherweight is 10 or 8. I don't even know. I don't even know stone myself anymore. Okay. I used to do stone, but now I've done key for years. And then when it comes to the UFC on fight week, I start doing pounds just because everything's weighed in pounds.
Hey, I think you're like me, Patty. Patty, do you like to be a piggy in the off season?
Yeah.
You eat a little bit, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah, like at the minute now, everyone's been saying to me the last few days, "Oh, you're looking skinny again now. You're looking skinny again." Because now I'm like 80.5 kilo, which is about 177. 178.
What's your guilty pleasure? What do you like to eat? Is it the sweets? Is it the food? What is it?
Everything. When it comes to sweet chocolate or crisp, I'm a chocolate man.
You like chocolate?
I love me chocolate. Yeah, I can eat like 6 chocolate bars in one sitting.
I'm a Butterfinger guy.
I'm trying to think. I'll be honest. I think the chocolate in England is better than America.
I've heard that before.
Kinder eggs? Are you guys big Kinder eggs?
Yeah, like Kinder eggs. We have Kinder Bueno. Kinder Buenos are up there. White Twixes. Whisper Gold is my favorite chocolate bar ever. Whisper Gold.
That sounds fucking delicious. What is, as a fact?
If you said in London, I'll bring you some.
What the fuck's a Whisper Gold?
I've never heard of it.
It's like they do a normal Whisper, and it's like the chocolate like in the middle melts in your mouth, but the gold one is with caramel in the middle, and lad, it's like an orgasm in your mouth when you eat it.
I've had those. I'm going to look this up, Patty, as we're talking. Whisper Goal. I've never heard of it.
WISPA.
Jimmy, you're disgusting. Can I tell you that?
Is it Cadbury Whisper? Is that it?
Yeah, it's Cadbury's Whisper Gold. I tweeted them and asked them, would they make a white Whisper Gold? And they never got back to me.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Would have been delightful, a white version. A white Whisper Gold, man.
Is that the hardest part for you not to eat? Like when you're back in camp and you gotta get serious. It's the chocolate.
Yeah, not even the chocolate. It's just food in general. Because I'll be honest. When I fought last, I weighed in at 155. The next day, I woke up 172, and I only cut 6 pounds overnight. Know what I mean? I never done a big weight cut. I've done like 4, 5, 6 pounds. And I've done 19 pounds overnight before to make featherweight. So that for me is nothing.
You've cut 19 pounds?
Yeah, yeah, cut 19 pounds. That's why, have you ever seen the video of me being sick in the cage?
I've not, no.
I've just won a decision against Julian Arosa, who's now a UFC featherweight. You'll be able to get that up on YouTube. It's one of my most viewed videos. A lot of people think it's blood as well, but is how you know I'm bad for the chocolate. I cut 19 pounds overnight, like nearly killed myself making weight, and then I went 5 5-minute rounds. And as I'm getting interviewed by John Gooden, I'm sick in the cage and it's brown, but everyone that's watching it thinks it's red. So they thought it was blood when really, on the way to the venue, I drank a hot chocolate and a Ferrero Rocher.
Oh, here it is. Yeah.
I spewed it all up as soon as, like, if you notice the interview, that's not like me. I have one word answers every time. I'm giving them one word answers. I'm like, yeah, yeah. So I just know it's coming. I just go, bleh. And just spew all over the canvas.
Yeah, I just saw. I may have actually seen that before. But did you feel it come? Like, there's that awful feeling where you're like, I'm gonna puke. Like, I know it. Did you have that, or did it just happen?
My mouth was getting watery. I just knew it was coming. But like last time, I weighed in 155. The next day, it was 172. And literally I'd flew home on the Sunday, and literally by the Thursday, I think I was like nearly 200 pounds. I was like I was 90 kilo. By like Thursday, Friday.
When you weigh in and then you put on, I guess, what is it, like 17 pounds overnight before the fight, what are you eating that night or right after the initial weigh-in?
Well, after the weigh-in, I don't like, the great thing about the UFC is after you've weighed in, they notice, they check what your weight is, don't they, leading up to it, the week of the fight, they check what your weight is, and that's brilliant because they give me the right amount of electrolytes, the amount of something else, all of the stuff. I'm bad after I've weighed in, especially when I've only had like 5 pounds. Like, I'll eat lots of bars, lots of fruit, and then I'll go and have like porridge and just lots of carbs, get it all back in me. But I don't eat nothing bad until the next day, obviously, after I've fought. And then it's like, I'll go for something to eat and I'll order 3 main meals. I'll order a burger and chips, a fish and chips and a pasta. And I'll eat every last bit of it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's smart the night before. You only eat shit that's going to help you with energy.
Yeah,
and help
you fight. I try and get as much carbs in me as possible, you know what I mean? As many carbs, because that's what you've been depleting your body of, isn't it? So you want to get them back in to get the energy in. To be honest, I didn't have the best scram the night before Venzamini. I ordered a Panda Express, so it wasn't the best, but it was rice noodles and then like chicken.
And how long before you fight? I know this is different for probably a lot of guys. How long before you fight where you go, I can't eat this amount of time before I fight?
I don't know. I was in the back in the Apex eating. Have you seen the little Nutella things they give you? What you dip the little sticks in?
Yeah.
I was nailing them in the back, nailing them like fucking an hour before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's that famous footage, right, Matt, of Derek Lewis eating before the fight?
Oh, I think it was like a couple of fights before his, and he had a big plate of food.
Yeah.
Bad, man. I mean, that's crazy, dude.
That's the thing. What was good about fighting in Vegas at 1 p.m., though, I knew that I was just having breakfast. And then there wasn't really anything else I could get in because I'd be full. But like when we're fighting in London, I'm probably going to be on later on the night. So I'm going to have to get me coach to get me in a headlock and make sure I don't eat no shit.
Right.
It's so funny, man. You just want to go in there and have everything just perfect. So you're like, oh, I don't want to be bloated. I don't want to be this, that. You know, it's like it's such a regulated thing. It makes a difference if you're fighting earlier or later. I didn't give a fuck when I used to fight prelims. I was like, all right, good, let me get it over with and I can eat some popcorn.
Yeah, I'm thinking I want to open up the main card, to be honest, because I know what time I'm fighting then. I know when I'm on. I haven't got to worry about other people finishing or going to decision. I know exactly what time I'm on and it'll be an unbelievable curtain raiser, mate, me walking out in there. Trust me, you're going to see the best entrance you have ever seen in the UFC, ever.
Best entrance.
Best entrance. No one gets the car going like me, lad. I go banyans going out and no one, I swear to God, it's like a house party when I walk out.
What song do you use again? Tell us your song.
It's Lethal Industry into Heads Will Roll. It's a little remix I got someone to make for me. So it's two different songs blended together and it just gets people going like nothing else. Rodrigo Vargas is going to be like, what's going on?
Does it get you going? I've heard guys have different. Some guys like something calmer because it keeps their heart lower. Like, does it actually get you moving?
It gets me pumped. Many times, clapping my hands, bouncing out like that to the crowd. You know what I mean? I can't help myself, lad. As I say, I'm not just a fighter. I'm a born entertainer. I can't help myself. When someone puts a microphone in front of me or gives me a stage, it's like I go into autopilot. I'm like a different person. Not like a different person, but I've got confidence that I don't normally have.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The performer part. Yeah, I understand that. It's a, yeah, in real life, believe me, one-on-one, I'm shit. But in front of a microphone, I'm also shit, but I'm less shit than I am in real life.
Sometimes you can be less awkward in front of a lot of people than a one-on-one situation. I'm with that.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you mean there. Sometimes one-on-one with someone, it can be a little bit weird. But when you're in front of thousands of people, lad, and everyone's looking at you, you've just got to be yourself.
Yeah, it just works. There's no awkward silence in front of all those people, because you feel like if you have to perform a little, you can't. Whatever you got to do, one-on-one, it's just weird. You sit on a sofa with somebody and you got nothing to say. It's like, oh, it's fucking terrible. It's a terrible feeling.
Yeah, I know what you mean there. I just can't wait to fight. No talking to you, because last week I spoke to you on Fight Week. Like, already now I'm getting all excited.
Yeah, Paddy, you're fighting. And listen, come back again and see us again, man. We love talking to you. Rodrigo Vargas. And this is March 19th at the O2 in London. I hope you open up that main card, too. I think that's an incredible way to open it up. Again, I don't know what their plans are, but I agree. I think that will be a great opening fight on that main card.
I cannot wait to fight again, you know, especially the amount of people who've been on me. Oh, why haven't you fought? Because I knew they were coming back to the UK and they wanted me on that card. Obviously, they wanted me on this UK card, so they didn't want me to get injured beforehand. But
yep.
I didn't expect to sit out for 6 months, I'll be honest. But I got nice, fat and happy at the time, so I enjoyed my time off. Now I'm back, I've started camp 10 weeks out and I've already lost 10 kilo and I've got another 10 kilo to go. Lad, it's going to be quite easy. It's going to be the best version of me you've ever seen.
It's been a while since we've been over in England.
Yeah, 2019 was the last time.
So it's great, man. You're going to be there, bringing it back. That's amazing, dude. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, it's very exciting, lad. I swear to God. And I'm going to pull something spectacular out the bag.
All right, Paddy. We'll talk to you again. And good luck. And again, as you made, you have a prediction about this fight. I know you're still way out. Last time, I believe you predicted a first-round TKO. Do you see it going any differently with Vargas?
It's definitely going to be a first-round finish. I can't see him lasting any more than 5 minutes for me, to be honest. Even though he's got good heart, he's got a good chin, he's resolute. But I showcased my striking in the last fight. I might have to showcase my grappling in this one. I'm going the first round submission or first round TKO off ground and pound.
All right.
I like it.
Talk to you again, man. All right.
See you soon, the boys. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Thanks, Paddy.
See you later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I love that guy. How can you not like him?
He's destined. Listen, very likable, very, very confident, sure of himself. I like him.
But it's not off-putting. Like, it's not arrogant. It's just he's confident, and it's not an off-putting. It's not. It doesn't seem fake. It seems like he just genuinely believes in himself.
I like it. I like him, you know? Me too, and I like Nick Merckx.
Yeah, I do too. Also, really, really a fun guy to talk to. So, obviously, Paddy, whenever he wants, but Nick, I'd love to have back whenever Nick wants to come, because interesting talk about something I know very little about, video gaming.
Jimmy, listen to me. I live that shit. I'm going to go murk some people right now.
All right,
Population 1, Oculus Quest 2.
And I am going to piss my brains out.
Jimmy, I love you. What do you want to plug, brother?
I'm going to be, I believe, next Wednesday, the 6th or 7th, whatever it is, I'm going to be here in New York. Just go to jimnorton.com if you want to see me in Boston, Connecticut, or New Hampshire. I got San Francisco coming up. I got Washington, D.C. coming up. Go to my website and check me out if you want.
Matt Serra BJJ on Instagram, Matt Serra on Cameo. I'll sing somebody happy birthday right now. And that's it, man. SerraBJJ.com for a Serra t-shirt, or if you want an arm lock. Listen to me. I'll see you in a couple of days, my friend.
Yes, and thank you. Thanks to Nick and thanks to Patty. All right, buddy. I'll see you soon.
Goodbye, Jimmy. Bye, everyone. Yeah,
bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.